You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome to another episode of Solano Moms Building Community Podcast. Today, we're diving into an important conversation about relationships, parenting, and family dynamics with a special guest, Kathy Pettengale, a licensed marriage and family therapist. As moms, we juggle so much, from managing relationships and raising children to balancing personal well-being. But sometimes we need expert guidance to navigate the emotional and mental challenges that come with family life. In this episode, we will explore how to build strong relationships, communicate effectively, and support our children's emotional health. Whether you're dealing with parenting struggles, relationship problems, or simply want tools for building a healthier family environment, this conversation will offer you practical strategies and expert advice to help you thrive in your relationships.
I would like to welcome my special guest, a family and marriage therapist, Kathy Pettengale, to our episode. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
I'm really excited for this episode. Actually, I told my husband, let's see if she will diagnose me with something, because usually therapy, you feel like you go there, you have some problem. But before I go there, I'm going to ask you, will you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure. I'm Kathy Pettengale. I am a licensed marriage and family therapist. I have been in this business for about 10 years since I started. I was an older student. I had careers prior to this. I was a flight attendant, mom, but I always
knew. Wow, flight attendant. Yeah. That's a fun job.
Yeah.
How did from that therapist, did you like see something there, the need that you wanted?
Yeah, all flight attendants are good codependents. I knew as a young girl that I wanted to be a therapist. It led me later, but I always knew that I wanted to. I was raised in an alcoholic home. My father was an alcoholic. My mom was such a strong woman and a woman before her time, because in the 80s, it was always, You kept things private and didn't talk about family stuff. And she was pretty open, and we would just call it what it was, that, you know, her husband, my father, was an alcoholic, and he was able to get sober the last 7 years of his life, and it was such a gift that he gave us. But when you've been through a trauma or a tragedy in your life, I think it gives you a sixth sense.
Yes.
And so I then knew from a young age that I wanted to help people in their darkest days. So I have had the pleasure of being able to do that for the last 10 years. The joy that comes from it, to see the resilience in people, to see and witness the growth, and to walk alongside others is a gift that I'm able to give myself.
Yes, you sure do have that gift. So the first time that I called you and I was talking, because one of our listeners had asked that for a therapist, and when I talked to you, it was like you had this gift. I opened up to you, and then I look at the clock. It was like 45 minutes we were talking. Yeah. So you're amazing. You make people, or at least when I have the experience with you, to just open up in an organic way where you don't feel judged. Mm-hmm. You don't feel anything. You just feel like I have a friend I could talk to, mm-hmm. and then you can help.
Right, right.
So that was your inspiration based on your family life to become a marriage and family therapist.
Yes, I would say that. Things grew, right? Because after 9/11 as a flight attendant, that took another turn.
Yeah.
You know, we just grow as people and we go through experiences and we realize we can do more, we can do better, and we can help each other.
That's amazing. So. Kathy, I have a lot of questions for you. We have put your picture on our website, and there's a lot of questions. I'm going to go through them and ask you.
Okay.
What are some of the most common challenges families face today, and how can they navigate them?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. I think that the most common things families face are communication breakdowns from balancing responsibilities, and it creates pressure in the family. And I think addressing these challenges requires communication and to be able to set aside judgments that we kind of form. Sometimes seeking professional help is a neutral person that can come in and help put the puzzle pieces together.
Yeah, it's hard for people. And how do you suggest for people to learn communication? Because I think we live in an era also, even with, I know a lot of people, I have learned to communicate good with my husband and family members. But I think there's a point that people are not there, that they want to communicate. They feel, like you said, judged by their husband. If they say, I want things this way, they feel like it's going to be more conflict. Mm-hmm. And even with family members. So they just go along till there's a breaking point for them that that's enough.
Sure.
What are the steps they could learn to communicate with their loved
ones? Yeah. You know, I think it's just the old basics of just stopping and listening and really, truly listening to what the other person is actually saying. And to just sit. I think that we keep our brains and our minds so busy all the time that if we can just sit with our thoughts and with what the thoughts of the other person's saying too. So it's so much simpler and we make it so much complex than needs to be.
Yeah, I agree. I think, usually we think too much about it instead of just listening, and that will solve a lot of problems.
Yes.
How do you define a healthy family dynamic, and what are some key elements that contribute to that?
Good question. So family dynamics, I think mutual respect for one another, like we were just kind of talking about with listening. Clear communication. I think this can also lead to emotional safety, which I think is a key factor to feel healthy, is to be able to feel safe with your loved ones. And because your ideas and their ideas might not align, but to be able to feel safe in a relationship. I think that this takes constant boundaries and boundary setting to be able to be in a healthy family relationship. And empathy, I think, is another thing that sometimes is lost. Good empathy towards one another. Back to those shared responsibilities is a key to being healthy in a family. And I think the willingness to work through conflict.
That is very true.
Yeah.
I noticed that even with my own family or my husband, it's the willingness. The moment you don't have the willingness, there's no communication.
Exactly.
And sometimes all of us are bad about that.
Right. We always went our own way, right?
Yes.
I mean, you know, but yeah, as maturity as we gain, as we age, you know, we kind of are able to sit back and relax and having that mutual willingness.
I agree. Yeah. This is a question that I really want an answer because my kids are at that stage. How can parents manage sibling rivalry and encourage positive relationships between their children? I have not figured this out. No matter what I do, what book I read, Oh, God, the house is chaos with them, too.
That's so funny. Yeah, my brother has three little ones, and I said, do they always fight this much? And he said, yes.
Yes, I can't figure it out, so I'm going to figure it out today, right? Yeah.
And I won't tell you to do the old school. Like, my husband, he said that they had to sit on the couch and have their arms around each other when they fought for, like, 5 minutes.
That's what my mother-in-law does.
Must be an old school thing.
Yeah, my mother-in-law said she did that to the other grandchildren, that she had to hold their hands, and then she said after a while they were okay. I was thinking, if I do that to my boys, oh no, there will be a big fight.
That's so funny. I think by setting clear rules on what we expect from one another, I think one of the key factors is encouraging teamwork. And I know this also just sounds so like simple, like you're like, Kathy, this hasn't worked for me. I just told you, I read books, I've tried this. But the one key thing I think too is modeling. You know, you and your husband, or you guys are a married couple, you guys modeling the teamwork, what you guys do, how you respect each other, how you talk to each other. Do you guys talk in loud, argumentative voices, or do you talk reasonably?
No, I'm thinking.
I mean, it's natural. We aren't all going to get along all the time. So I'm not saying that we need to go have these perfect lives, our white picket fences, our, you know, that is not real. That is not going to happen. But if the majority, 75-85% of the time, our kids can see us model good behavior, they are going to do it also. The other thing too is, like we were saying, clear boundaries and clear rules is just having routines. A lot of times our kids are fighting because it's the end of the day and they're tired and they're hungry and they've been at school all day or they've been doing homework and they're just needing to be done.
Yes.
And so then it's the poke, you know, I'm going to poke you, or, you know,
yes,
I want the red cup and you called the red cup and I called it first, you know, whatever it can be. And so, and that's the other key thing too, is then your parents at that time are at their wits end also.
Oh yes. You're
and
very
so,
right.
So to be able to say, okay, it's your turn to have the red cup, and tomorrow it's going to be the other person, the other child's turn to have the red cup, to take that breather of a second that parents need to be able to stay calm and to stay in control and to say, no, this is how it's going to be done. And that's a clear rule, right?
Okay. Actually, I have this problem at my house. But how do you choose who to give that red cup to? And every time I give it to the younger one, because I believe the older one is more mature and he will be understanding, he says, Mommy, that's not fair. So then in my head, I'm like, oh, am I scarring this one because I'm giving everything to the younger one?
Yeah, no, you're not scarring anyone. No. And this is healthy, right? Because we're going to go out in life and have to figure out problems in our jobs someday and stuff. And
yes,
so we're going to need to learn teamwork and how to get along. That's why it's so important now at this home level to learn that, because you're giving your kids the gift that they're going to be able to go on and be great team players at a job one day. And so these little seeds that you're planting are going to be amazing, because the whole world is going to get the growth from good parenting. So back to your question on who to give it to. You know, maybe you go back to heads and tails and pull out a coin and say, okay, it's your turn, call heads or tails now. And, there's no right or wrong answer, right?
Okay.
And I know that we all kind of go, okay, wait, the baby needs the push, or the baby needs to be the, you know, the one that gets it, or they're going to be the one that's crying. And,
yes,
and maybe if you just, you know, there's just no wrong or right answer. Or, you know, the last time you got to go first, the next time you get to go first.
Okay, so take turns.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll try that tonight. Yeah. And then I'll text you if that works.
I would love that. I will gladly love to hear that.
The other question, what strategies can parents use to effectively co-parent after a divorce?
Mm-hmm. Good question, yeah. Effective co-parenting with when there's divorce or separation involves really good, clear communication, and with the goal in mind of focusing on the children's needs. When we get to the point that we're not happy in our relationships anymore and they are dissolving, we get caught up in that fight and that argument and the ugliness of that. And that is the time that we really need to take the breather, be responsible, remember that we brought other people into this world, and that they still need our parenting. They need to have the security in their life. And it's a gift that we need to be able to still bring to them and give them. And so putting our differences aside to be able to say, okay, we're going to honor our children together enough to be able to say, let's set some clear boundaries. Let's set some clear rules. If this happens at this house, it's going to happen at my house too. And try to get the triangle taken out of the relationship that we always tend to want to pull kids into.
Yes, I agree. I think there's so many hurt feelings in both sides, and usually the kids suffer from that. Mm-hmm. And I agree that if you just take that aside, think of the children, it would benefit both people.
Right. It's just have a routine that works in both households.
Do you think it's beneficial if they write it down and give it to each other?
You know, whatever's going to work. Everything. Let's work as a team. So if writing down and saying, hey, this is a good contract, this happens in my house, then this happens in my house. The other thing too is, why you want to work together. If you don't, then you're going to create little beings that are manipulative and that it kind of become game playing, and they're going to play one parent against the other parent, and that's going to pull in, and that's going to be a constant tension in both worlds, right?
And, yes.
And why do we want that constant tension, that constant, you know, aggravation? Like, let's just say, okay, call truce. We didn't work out, but that doesn't mean that we have to not work out with our kids too.
I fully agree. Good advice. How can families strengthen their communication skills and create a more supportive home environment, which you mentioned that it's from the parents that they have to be the role model? Any other strategies?
Well, kind of back to what we were talking about before, active listening, regular schedules, check-ins. Check in with everybody. You know, we're a family, we work together, let's check in and let's encourage each other and express our thoughts and our feelings with one another. Another key thing I think about good communication and skills is create traditions. Have activities that foster communication and support.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
And those family vacations, and use it with the whole family and everybody get on board. And okay, we're going to go to Disneyland and it's going to happen in June. And when are we going to get there and what are we going to do? And let everyone be a part of the planning. And I think those are clear communication, which is creating support for everyone in the family, right?
Right. Yeah. Right. Everybody feels heard, because I think sometimes what happens is the kids feel like they're not being heard,
right,
or your significant other. But when, like you said, if there's a vacation or anything you do, everybody feels heard, then it's a healthier environment for all.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
What are some signs that a child or teen might be struggling with their mental health? And when should parents seek professional help?
Yeah, good question. All of our teens, or not all of them, I shouldn't say that, but many teens are having anxiety issues and problems,
yes,
that are stemming from.
And mental health is also anxiety. Mental health, at least when I was younger, it was looked down upon. And
right.
Then if you talked about it, you're not the cool kid.
Right.
There's something wrong with you, because everybody believes they don't have anxiety.
Right.
But I think you're the professional. Everybody probably have anxiety.
Right. We live in a busy world, right?
Yes.
And so we're creating kind of that amongst us and trying to almost present it as normal, like,
yes,
that we just kind of continue on. It's not normal. We shouldn't all be at stressed and stressed out all the time. And we need to put the stigmas aside that mental health is nothing more than just like when we go to the doctors with a cold or go to the dentist with a toothache. It is the same thing, and we go to those professionals to get help so that we feel better, and that's the same thing that we need to present with mental health also. And so teens that are struggling, for parents, I think if they can clue in to, if you see changes in behavior, withdrawal from friends or activities, difficulty sleeping, if you see eating patterns that change or moods, this starts to interfere with their daily functioning, I think that's time to seek professional help. Yeah, and I know that mental health professionals are booked and it's hard to get in with them, but go to your regular doctor. You know, get in to see somebody right away so that they can start navigating before it gets to be where it's too much.
And how do you deal with the situation? Sometimes I think of it when my kids are older. When you see something that they're withdrawing and you clearly see as a parent something is going on. But at the same point, at least I'm that kind of parent, I don't want to make them feel like there's something going wrong.
Right.
So how do you deal with something like that? Like telling them, I need to take you to a mental health professional. Are they already feeling like, oh my God, what is going on with me if my parents did that to me? Like, I feel like how to approach this.
Right. That's a good question. Like we've talked about, it's so funny with this interview, and I talked to you about this earlier, like I feel like we're saying the same things, right? But clear communication, you know, just like when our littles are little, right? And we're taught, like, get on your knee and make good eye contact so that you're not overshadowing them.
Yes.
So I think that if we just kept that picture kind of in our mind at each stage of our kids' growth. So let's take a 9 or 10 year old. You don't have to get on your knees anymore to look them eye to eye. But I think if you can keep that in the back of your mind and realize, hey, it seems like you're having some things going on. And, you know, I thought maybe to give you your privacy so that, you know, you don't have to share all of your thoughts with mom and dad all the time. If we went and talked to someone that might be just a neutral person and, you know, let's go together, let's meet the person together, and then I can leave you and I'll be out in the waiting room. I'm not going to be too far away. And, you know, let's talk about after the appointment, how did you connect with the person? Did you like them? Did you not? We've all had classroom teachers that we loved and all that we didn't like,
definitely.
Right?
Yes.
And so I think that it's okay to be able to say to our children, you know, if this one doesn't feel good, then let's talk about why and maybe try to find
the right one,
a better fit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I fully agree. I like that approach, actually. You know, when you were talking, just saying the word, we used to get on your knees and talk to them. I like that approach because now my kid is 9 years old. Yeah. I can't get on my knee.
You don't
He's actually
need to.
Taller than me.
Yeah, so you need to get on a ladder.
Yes. So, but I like that now I'm keeping that in the back of my head, that always have that mentality as a parent, because this is your child and the way to get to them is be understanding. Because at times you feel like, why can't they get it?
Right. Yeah, they're just little, they're little brains. You know, our brains are developing till we're 24. And so it's good that the age of drinking is not till 21, right?
Yes.
You know, because otherwise we'd be ruining our brains way before. But with that said, I think that we need to remember that there's still little, it's like a little ball of clay that they're still developing and we're still being able to be a part of that. And so if we can just continue to help them grow and develop and mature at a natural, calming, age-appropriate level, that I think we're gonna be extremely happy with the outcome.
I like that. How can parents like us balance our mental health while supporting our children and a million other things in this world?
Gosh, right? I know. We're all racing. We're all in a marathon together.
Yes.
I think parents need to prioritize self-care and boundary setting and model healthy emotion regulations, right? And so we talked about that earlier about, are we constantly talking with our partners by yelling and screaming? You know, is that something that we're doing? If it is, then we need to maybe be better at doing that so that they see. I think too that it's okay to seek our own therapy. You know, that maybe there's trauma or childhood issues or things that we haven't been able to jump over that are getting in our way and we don't realize it's getting in the way of our relationships. And so maybe coming in and kind of cleaning our own house a little bit, yeah. you know, and being able to settle our own souls is going to be able to balance better mental health with our families and ourselves.
Any resources or books you know of?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that was another question you were going to answer. And I have some books I set out. And I'm sorry if I make a noise because I'm turning to look at them.
Oh, I see. I'm going to take a picture of that. Actually.
Okay. I know. I've left one at home because I'm in the middle of reading. It's called Rising Strong. And it is excellent.
Rising Strong.
Yeah. She's a professor, Professor Brown. And she has done a study on storytelling. And wow. our stories. And so anyways, it's a great, great resource. Another one is The Whole Brain Child by Dr. Dan Siegel. And there is another great resource book. It's called Hold Me Tight by Dr. Susan Johnson. She was a lead therapist. She recently died about a year or two ago. Excellent, excellent research in her. And those are all really good.
I feel like sometimes, I'll be honest, I'm glad you said these books because sometimes I feel like my therapy is reading books.
Yes.
I feel like when I read a book, I'm such a better parent, such a better wife, a daughter, a sister, because it brings me back to my foundation.
Yes.
And I feel like a lot of people, if they try it, they would love it because it's a moment for them reading what they want.
Right.
And it's also very much learning.
Yeah, well, it's good self-care, right? Because then you're taking some quiet time to yourself.
Yes.
And I also, when I work with clients that might have a learning disability, that maybe their reading skills, that's not their favorite thing to do.
Or is it,
I encourage them to get the books on tape. You know, we have audio now that's so great. Get the book and follow along when someone else reads it to you. If it ends up being kind of a boring reader, then skip that and go to another one because we have great readers out there.
Yes, actually, this is funny. So my husband and I, that's what we do. I love reading books. Then he says, what are you reading? Then the next day when he drives to work, he gets the Audible. And then when he comes back or in a week, then he says, did you get that point? And then, but you know what the funny part is? We both have so different look into that book.
Oh.
He got totally something else and I got totally something else. I'm like, do we read the same book?
Well, you know, I love that as a couple. That's such
a lot.
Wow.
Yes.
I mean, you know, that's excellent. Excellent way to
come
together and live in two different worlds, but still be able to come together. Excellent. Great communication. The other thing that brings up is, and that's what I was going to encourage young moms and stuff to do book clubs, get together, read the same book.
That's such a good idea.
Because that's what you and your husband are doing and you guys are pulling out different books.
Yeah, we actually have done it since we were pregnant with our son the first time because I was very much into psychology, how to raise our child.
Sure.
In my era, there was no psychology and I wanted to give that to our kids and both of us were reading and then as each stage, we buy like for my 9-year-old, now I have got a book, How to Deal with 9. Whether it's working or not,
I don't know about
that.
But it's good for your mental
health,
right?
But it's just for me. Exactly. I feel like I did the checklist. So if anything, mom did the checklist.
Right.
Yes.
Right. You know.
And most of the time, like you said, it's about your mental health. You feel good that you did that.
Yeah. And we're learning, right? And if the other thing is we walk shoulder to shoulder with other people in our lives, friends and stuff. And we might be able to, if they're going through something, be able to offer them.
I have actually.
Yeah.
I have and I have got them into it.
Yeah.
I don't want to names because they're listeners. Well, I'm
going
to the next question.
Yes.
What advice do you have for families dealing with grief or loss?
Oh, yeah.
This is something really tough, I would tell you. Based on personal experience, I don't want to get emotional. Today's a good day for me. There's days that if I say loss, I'm crying.
Yes.
But today I don't feel it. And that's the thing. I feel like with grief and loss, I haven't figured it out. There's days that I'm like, I'm great.
Mm-hmm.
There's days that I drive, I'm crying. It's like, what happened to me? And there's this dark cloud.
Right.
And I mean, why?
Yeah, you know, I remember when my grandfather died, I was a little girl, I was 10, and my grandmother said, sometimes it just feels like the bricks all fall in on you.
Yes.
Like you just don't know. And I have an old supervisor that actually lost his wife at a younger age a couple years ago, and he said, he calls them sneaker waves, that they just come in out of nowhere and just take your breath away. And
oh my God, that's exactly, you feel like you have your heart is beating and you're like, what is wrong with me? I can't control my emotions. It's out of your hand.
Right, right. I've had my own experiences with young grief also, but I think that we need to allow space. I think we all grieve differently.
Yes.
I think that the world has said, oh, this is how it is. This is how we handle it. And I think that until you're in that space and walk in someone else's shoes, you don't really know what it feels. I think listening and giving people the space to grieve on their time.
Yeah.
We all are on different time schedules. I have a friend that had two traumatic losses. One, her son and I were in junior high together, and he was tragically killed. And then 10 years later, her husband also was tragically killed. She'll never get over it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is daily. Yeah, that is a part of her for her whole life. And she's always thanked me for being a friend that just accepts her for being right there, allowing her the space to continue to grieve for two people that she absolutely loved and adored.
So. Yeah. How can you be a good listener? Like, in my situation, I'm already suffering from my loss, but then I have my mom that I want to be strong for her. How can I be a better listener to her or the loved ones when they're talking to me? Because at times when they talk, I feel like I want to, like, shut off that door. I don't want to talk about it because it's hurting me, but I know they want to share that.
Mm-hmm.
So how can I be a better listener?
You know, I think if you take some time when you're alone to ground yourself, to journal, to be at peace, to walk, go on nature walks, to have some time in your own space to allow for those healing spots to kind of need to take place. Because what's happening is you're going in, jumping in with your mom, you haven't dealt with yours, so you're still wounded.
Yes.
So your little Band-Aid is all bloodied up and overflowing, and you're just like, I don't have time because I have no space to give you. And sometimes that's a boundary that you need to set too, because, you know, people can overuse space, right? And so I'm not saying that your mom is overusing your space, but, you know, we might have friends that overtake, and then we just have to set a clear boundary that's just like, you know, maybe we can meet for coffee at this time, and then maybe you may make that coffee date with time, like, oh, I have from 11 to 12, you know, so that you have a certain time that you're giving that person that they need. But I think back to your mom in situation, sometimes if we're not at a spot that we're healthy and grounded, we can't give to others.
True.
And so I think in that case, I would say, let's go back to the drawing board. Let's get you healthy and grounded. And then you'll have the energy and the time and the space to be able to give someone else.
I like that. It's like, you know, in the airplane, you go, they say, first the oxygen mask, put it on yourself, then your kid. And that's a good analogy. I never got it when I was a teenager. Now I do get it.
Right.
A healthy self, if I can't help myself, how can I help others?
Sure. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go to the next questions. How does social media influence relationships, both positive and negative?
And this is what was asked by...
This was asked by our listeners.
Listeners, yes. I remember you saying that. Right. Yeah, social media is huge, right? In our day and age.
I remember in my era where my husband and I were, and then my friends, where they were so much into social media. I've never had Facebook,
mm-hmm,
both of us.
Mm-hmm.
They broke up over the drama of social media.
That's too bad, yeah.
So I can see the negatives, but what are the positives?
Right, right. Yeah, so the positives. So, you know, my generation, because I'm a little bit older, it's brought tons of friendships back together, right? Friends we went to high school with that we knew. And for me, that as a flight attendant, I was all over the place.
Ooh,
so I
was
able to, I'm able to keep
that adventurous life.
Right. And my brother lives in Australia. So social media is great for sharing those experiences. The hard part of social media is we want to live a fake life, right? We want to present our life as, oh, we have no problems, our family's perfect. And because you're not taking pictures of the ugly red cups that are being thrown at each other because the brother wanted the red cup, like you were saying earlier, and the other one wanted it. And so we're not taking pictures of that and showing, right?
Yes.
And that's the real life, right?
Yes.
And so I think that's the downfall to social media, is that we don't see clear families. And when we're going through our own struggles, it's hard to say, wow, that family looks perfect all the time. Why isn't my family perfect?
Yes.
And so I think that if we have a good grounding of time that we allow on social media for ourselves, shut the phones off, throw the phones down. When I would come home from trips, I would turn my phone off and throw it away because I didn't want to be bothered by the phone anymore. So that was a forced habit. So as you know, when we started this, I turned my phone off. I frequently just take time off from my phone. So it's not.
Yes, yeah. I agree.
So I think managing social media with healthy boundaries, with saying, okay, we're going to allow, if it's ourselves, I'm only going to look at Facebook once a week for 15 minutes or three times a week for 10 minutes. And I'm going to go through and I'm going to comment on comments and I'm going to love on people so my friends know I'm still alive, and then I'm going to be done with it. And then go live your life. You know, stop sitting and scrolling
yes.
when you could go pick up a self-help book, like you yes. were just saying, you know, when you could go on a nature walk, when yes. you could do other things to keep us in a healthy mind spot.
Yes. So. And I've also noticed like a lot of, I actually can't be judgmental,
yeah.
but when I talk to a lot of my friends, they get really affected by social media. And I don't know if this is my personality. I never get really affected by social media on how to be or how to act.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say to someone? Because when they say, some of them say, they see on social media, the mom is having this way of life. Oh. And then they feel like, okay, it's overwhelming them. Why can't mm-hmm. they be that mm-hmm. way? What would you say to that
person? I would tell them they need to take a time out of social media.
Okay.
Yeah, that it's time to pull back and ground yourself. What's good for your family is not going to be good for other families. What you're going through might not be the same. You might have some health problems or children that are acting up, or maybe you have children that aren't acting up and you don't want to hear all about someone else's. It's time to just take a step back and just live life with your family. Pull out the old board games, you know,
yes,
like when
yes.
our grandparents were, you know, our
Monopoly.
Card games. Exactly.
yeah.
And just live in the moment.
I fully agree.
Yeah.
What are some red flags that indicate a couple may benefit from therapy?
Oh, yeah, that's good. Red flags. I think the loss of trust is one of the big things
yeah.
that's a red flag.
I can
flag.
See that.
Yeah. I think communication breakdowns and the biggest, I think, of all is unresolved conflict. And I think that this becomes a pattern. We want answers immediately. There might not be answers immediately. And I think coming to therapy and working with someone else to help find tools to get people back on track with the ultimate goal of living in harmony, whether that's together or separated, because we can't guarantee that just because couples come to therapy that their marriage is going to be saved.
True.
And so I think that we need to live in a real world and come in and find tools and decide what is going to be our ultimate goal and what is our ultimate harmony.
In your experience all these years, what are the common topics that couples fight over?
Oh, golly. Children.
Oh, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, children.
The way they parenting styles?
Yes. And you know what happens is everyone brings in some baggage and then their own ideas and then how their families did it.
Yeah.
And so you don't talk about this before you have kids, right? So you don't even realize that this is going to be an explosion. And you have this cute little baby and you bring it home and or you adopt a baby or you, you know, have a dog or an animal or something. And then all of a sudden, all these ideas come flying out.
Yes.
And you think, wow, I know my husband and I waited 13 years before we had our daughter. And so that wasn't even talked about, right?
Yes,
so
you, us too. We
yeah,
waited.
Yeah. And so and like you, you know, because
yes.
we kind of got married younger. And so anyways, you don't, so you think you know that person. After
yes,
all those years,
yes,
you think, oh, I know that person. And then you realize, whoa.
Yeah, whoa, you have to. Yeah, actually, my husband and I are opposite to a point, but
yeah.
we are, the fundamentals are the same.
And you know what? It's good to be opposite. We don't have to think exactly the same. But I think when it starts to, the red flags, when we start to break down and communication starts to become a problem is when we need to regroup. And a lot of times when people get to that point, they're so hurt and so mad and angry that it comes out in all of their actions and everything that's being done inside the household. And I think that that's really damaging and hard.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think what I figured, I'm sure we all have figured that to a point, it's if it becomes too much, you have to take a step back. Right. At least that's what my husband and I always do. You take a step back. Okay, what am I doing in this part? What is he doing? And what's the right thing?
Right.
And then we come in media, my husband and I, and then half of what the way you want, half of the way you want.
Excellent.
But I think that takes a lot. It took me so many years to be in this spot. But I do enjoy, because sometimes I thought my way was right while I see my children are thriving with his way. So it's so good to be open-minded sure. about the other person.
Sure. It's a give and take, right?
Yes.
I
fully agree. Well, we are almost done, but I will ask you one more question before I let you go. If you could give one piece of advice to families or couples, what would it be?
If I could give one piece of advice, what would it be? Gratitude practices. I think weekly check-ins with each other or with families. And I think collaborative goal settings is all good exercises that can strengthen bonds with couples and families.
And would you elaborate in weekly check-ins? Like I would like to do this with my family. What do I do in the weekly check-ins? Should we have it in dinner table with my son and husband? Ask how are they doing? What can we do things better? Like what kind of questions can I ask them?
Sure. I'm not a big fan, although I know everyone thinks about dinner because it's kind of the almost back to the 50s. Everyone sat at dinner together.
Yes.
But the problem is we're having a lot of eating disorders. And if anything bad comes up, now all of a sudden we've clued into eating in bad together. Does that make
sense?
Yes, it does. I personally am not a big fan of bringing things up at the dinner table.
Okay.
I've realized it's a time that we're all meeting and we're sitting face to face. And so that's kind of true.
Just
almost
focus
an
on
old fashioned
yes.
kind of thing. Yeah. I think even getting, they have so many now from Amazon. You can order the little questions, family questions you can ask each other.
Yeah.
I just saw one and I can't recall the name of it, but it was like...
We'll put it on resources when your episode comes.
Yeah, the joy of something. And it was little questions you can ask each other. But, you know, take time after dinner and just, you know, go to a different spot in the house where you guys sit and congregate and just say, you know, we just thought it's Monday night and this is a good time and we're going to make this a regular time. And I'm going to start. It's always good to model first because kids kind of maybe will feel weird and maybe they think, oh, they're centering on me. But I'm going to start and I'm going to tell you the funniest thing happened to me this week.
Okay.
And I laughed so hard and I was all by myself. And, you know, and so it's going to take a little digging too, right? Because we don't think of our life like that. Started out with just being fun and funny. And you will be amazed at how that gift will go around the family circle and each person can say, oh yeah, this happened to me and I thought it was funny. And you might get to the little six-year-old that says, oh yeah, I saw, you know, our dog licked the other dog's butt or something. And you're like, okay,
that's not that. It's all about that. You know, those things are their entertainment. Right.
And so you might go, oh yeah, that's not so funny. Haha. But to a six-year-old level, that is hysterical. And honestly, if you go and you pretend that you're 6 years old again, you will laugh too. So,
I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here. I feel so informed. And I can't wait to give this to the listeners. And anything else you would like to let the listeners know before we go?
Oh, no. I think that you have such good questions. And I think, you know, life is a journey. And if we can all just sort of be kind and walk shoulder to shoulder and just be kind to each other, I think that's a gift that we can give the whole world, right?
I like ending it with that message.
I appreciate having me and taking the time to come.
Of course, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Yeah.
Goodbye, Solano Moms. Till next time.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.